Welcome to the XX Mormon podcast. I am conducting and presiding. Again, the cough is back. Heavenly Mother is sick. So, in case you're wondering, does she get sick because she left the church and now demons can ravage her immune system? Not true. Nay, nay. I have an autoimmune disease I got when I was 5 or 6. My parents know the exact date and the hour. They know all about it, because it's very traumatic for them. But I do have a weaker immune system, so I get sick easier than a normal person. And this winter has just really been getting my goat and making me sick all the time. So I do apologize because this topic is very funny. So you will hear me laugh and it will turn into a crone laugh. And that's for you to unpack. That's not for me. That's for you. And again, I have the lovely and illustrious and insightful elder sister. Yay!
Wow, thank you for that
God, the
introduction.
cough is here.
That was extra. Wow.
The cough has its own identity, I swear. I'll
I
give it
love it.
a kind of name.
We
It's the cough.
should.
It's its own thing. But the topic we have is like terms and phrases in the church that we heard that like kill us inside with cringe or just cringy expressions. So it's just kind of like the vernacular, the vocabulary of the church. And the comments of the church that linger with us and give us secondhand embarrassment. It's kind of like there was a very long time ago, there's an episode called like Top 10 Dumbest Things I Believed as a Mormon or Dumbest Things I've Said. This is kind of like things that we heard that like bring us cringe. So it's sort of like a nice little sequel to that episode.
Yes.
So do you have any on the top of your head you want to go with? Or if you don't, that's okay, because I'm locked and loaded. I'm ready. I've got like
I
five.
do. Maybe I'll start with this little story. This was probably my top one when I was thinking about this week. My husband and I were at a wedding a couple years ago with one of my friends that we went to high school with. And so we had like a ton of our friends that were there from high school and then their parents, which was super fun because we haven't seen them in a long time. And one of my friend's moms, I think I've talked about her on this episode. She's insane. She's crazy. She came up to all of us and was just kind of catching up with all of us. And we were kind of in a big group. And then she turned to my husband and was asking him like what he's been doing with his life, if he's graduated yet, or what he's studying in college and all this stuff, and was being super nice. And at the time he was a pre-med student and he wanted to be like an oncologist, and she thought that was like the coolest thing ever. So they were talking about that and she was like, wow, I'm just so impressed and all this stuff. And then she turned to me and she was like, and you just graduated from BYU, right? And I was like, yeah. And I was like so excited because I was like, okay, it's my turn. Like I graduated college super fast in like 2.5 years. And I was like super proud of that. And so I was like, oh, she's gonna get to me. And she's always been super judgmental of me. I probably should have started with that. And so I was like, okay, like she's gonna think this is cool. Like I went to BYU, she loves BYU, and I graduated super early. So I'm like ready to like tell her all my stuff. And she's like, oh yeah, that's super cool. You graduated. And you're just working now, right? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh, good. Well, now you can be a good little wife and support your husband. And then she just walked away. And I was like,
Oh my God.
yeah. I was like, are you serious? Like,
What
anyways,
a bitch.
that sent me. Yeah.
Oh
So very cringe. I think about that all the time. And I'm like, you know
I'm
what?
gonna think about it all the time, and I'm not even
Yeah.
kidding. That's so, what the hell? Like, don't get
Seriously.
into a larger topic at another point about women hating women, because that's, she just
Yes.
like condescended you. And
Yeah.
Jesus, Mary and the church, that's so bad.
I know. Put
Oh
me
my
in my place.
goodness.
Apparently, I wasn't being a good little wife for getting an education or something. But yeah. Oh,
And you
I think
support
about
your
that. That one
husband.
just like gets me all the time.
God, speaking of our last topic, that's something I so appreciate about leaving the church is like I don't have to adhere to a heteronormative colonized idea of a relationship. You know what I mean? Like it's perfect. It's not really acceptable in the church for the husband to stay at home and the woman to work. And it's not
Yeah.
really acceptable in the church, which is also so cringe. It's
Yeah.
not really acceptable for like the woman to like have a higher education or to make more money, even though statistically speaking, if a woman has a higher education than her husband, they have a lower chance of divorce. So that's a fun fact. Yeah, I know, right?
That's crazy.
It doesn't matter if she even uses that, like uses her top degree, but it's just that dynamic is so like bulletproof, like your relationship is going to be fine. Anyways, I have thoughts on the matter. God, the way that we downplay our accomplishments as women in this
I
room is
know.
insane. The only thing that we get congratulated for is like, wow, you're skinny again after having kids. Like, that's the
Or
only
you've had 7 kids. That's great. Like, I'm so proud of you. Like, what?
It's the only accomplishment that we have. And having children is a major amazing feat, but raising children is very hard, and we don't really praise women for being empty nesters. We're not like, great job. We're like, oh, well, now you're useless. Now you can tell babies. God, one of the terms that I think, I don't know if I've said it on air before, but this gets me, and I always hated it. And now, as an ex-Mormon, I can vomit in peace. Tender mercies.
Oh
Stop. I hate that term. I don't even know what it means, but I just, tender is like the way you need to describe your meat when you're cooking. Like, tender? No. No, no, no.
No,
I hate
thank
tender.
you.
I
Oh
can't.
my gosh. That's so cringy. I hadn't thought about that one, but yeah, I always hated that. That was just like, there's so many words and phrases that I just like, even in the church, I was like, I don't love this. But now out of the church, I'm like, yeah, that was so weird. I was so right to feel that like cringeness.
Oh my God, that one just gets me. I always hated it. And people are like, it was just another tender mercy of the Lord. No, stop. No, it
Bitch,
wasn't.
please.
Yeah, literally, I can't. Tender mercy kills me inside. And then there's other words that I'm like, that's not what that means. Like, doesn't it just kill you, elder sister, how they would use sacred? They would just abuse that word like crazy. Like, the temple covenants are sacred. And it's like, I mean, I guess. Like, I've had to redefine what the term sacred means because the church would call itself sacred and nothing else. And that was like so wrong. You know, like, I'm not very well traveled, but one day I will be. There are these ancient, beautiful ruins of temples and civilizations all over the world. And the fact that the church would like poo-poo to that and be like, that's not sacred. But the church itself would be sacred, that just like kills me inside. Like, you don't think that the Khmer ruins and Angkor Wat are sacred, but your covenants, which again, how to me, sacred means anything worthy of protection. So I expand sacred is life itself, children are sacred, my wedding ring is sacred, memories I have are sacred. Anything worth protecting is sacred to me because it's just the way that they would throw it out there would just kill me. Oh my God, you remember they would talk about all the time about like sex is sacred? God, like it makes me want to cry. It's so cringe, and I'm
It's
sure
just like a
it
band-aid
can
to like,
be.
it's like a band-aid. Like they're just putting it over things so they don't actually have to like talk about it. Like, oh, that's sacred. Band-aid. Oh, Heavenly Mother, we don't have to talk about her. She's too sacred. Let's just put that band-aid over there so we don't have to look at it or think about it ever again.
True, 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 true. It was so wild to me because they would talk about like sex is sacred, and I was like, then how come all these men be? Never mind. I'm gonna stop myself right there. Let's not go that far. But all these men be watching porn all the time, so like you really want to probably the man saying it to my face, this priesthood holder. Saying oh, sex is sacred. You probably, never mind. You probably degrade your wife, sir. I can't. I can't.
Oh
Those
my
are, do you have
gosh.
any ones, any little terms right now on the top of your head?
Your example, you were talking about the ancient ruins and stuff, and that just made me think, I don't know if this is cringe. It probably is. But just how temples are like copy and paste of each other. Especially in Utah, like they all look the exact same. And I think I mentioned this last week. on the episode. My husband and I just went to New York a couple months ago, and we went and just kind of walked around, and we went to this gorgeous cathedral. It was like stunning. Like, so much detail went into it. It was so unique, so cool. And like, we went inside, and there's just like this reverence that was in there, which is crazy because there's all these tourists in there, there's all these things going on. But like that place, I was like, I like feel more at peace here than I ever felt in like our temple. Like, I would say that this building is sacred. Like, it means something to like all of these people. And the temples are just not like, they're just copy paste. They're just so cringy. And like, I look at them now and I'm like, I literally like have this, like, I don't even know. Like, it just hits my soul like the wrong way. And it's just, yeah. Anyways, cringy.
It's so funny to me because I remember a lot of general conference talks, and it would sprinkle into local leaders would talk about like that spirituality just counterfeit. And they like to say that a lot. And what is so funny, like what tickles me pink, is that the temples are very much counterfeit. Like, they're very much architecturally, intellectually stolen from other properties, including each other. And they say that all the time. It's counterfeit. It's not real. Those faiths aren't real. It was just so funny. Jesus.
That reminds me of, so one of the other words that I had written down was, every time I hear this word, I just like, like a testimony or a testimonial, which is like, it's like such a normal word outside of the church. Like, people use testimonial all the time, and like testify and stuff like that. But every time I hear that word, I just get, I don't know if it's like PTSD or something, but I'm just like, oh, I'm sitting back in a chapel and I'm like listening to all these like old men spewing their religious facts and stuff that make absolutely no sense. And they, yeah, anyways, it's just like, I cringe every time I hear that word. So that's one of mine.
It's been ruined. Yeah. Like, you have to give a testimony at court, you know, like it's, but it's been bastardized. I heard, this is from a friend, some older priesthood holder in the church told her that every month a woman is reminded that her body is not her own. And that makes my skeleton actually like total curve. Like, I become like a shrimp. Like, I cringe so hard. Because I'm like, what does that even? So he meant like when you have a period. I cannot. The war on women, like, please. I'm the war on menstruating people. I am going to throw up forever. I can't handle it. Not to mention there are plenty of women who don't have menstrual cycles for a number of reasons. I can't. I'm going to pass away. That one kills me. The cringe. And I'm sure that this man has said it many times. He thought it was like some prophetic epiphany. But I'll get into that later because I think that they're jealous of women. Anyways, that one gets me. Testimonial, sacred when it's not how you use that word. Oh, God. I had to redefine it, but the word atonement. Oh, my goodness. I cannot even. They meant it for, like, whenever you've done something bad, Jesus was, like, had your back. I can't. I'm going to cough, so I'm going to mute myself so no one has to hear it. No!
I have problems with that word as well. I haven't thought about it a lot. And I'm not sure that I entirely know what it means, like, outside of the church. And so, but I'm sure it's not what they're taking it to mean. Because that seems to be the theme.
Word. It seems to take, like, I'm looking it up right now. It means to take responsibility of something or to, like, own something that isn't yours. So I know this from the book, which was later on turned into a film called Atonement, which is, like, a really sad movie. I'm not going to recommend that anyone watch it. Reparation for a wrong or injury. That's what atonement actually means. And then in religious context, it says reparation for expiation for sin. I hope I'm saying that word right. Reconciliation. of God and humankind through Jesus Christ. Yeah, the way that that word was thrown out all the time, that sends me into PTSD. Like, God, if I hear that word one more
One
time,
more time.
wrongfully used, it's so cringe. What other cringe moments did I hear? Those were big ones. I was like, man.
That reminds me of a, I have this quote written down from one of my Sunday school teachers. Love him to death. Love this man. He said, "One sin, even a small, little, tiny one, can keep you out of the celestial kingdom." Imagine saying that to a bunch of 12-year-olds and not having them stress out for the next couple years of their life. Like, I had so much anxiety from him saying this one thing. Like, I remember going in, like, I booked an appointment with my bishop and was like, I need to tell him every like little bad thing that I've ever done, because I'm not going to see my family again. I'm never going to see them if I don't like confess every tiny little sin. And I remember going in there, my bishop was like, "What are you doing?" Like, he was like so real with me. He's like, most of them were like I had done it like 2 or 3 years ago and it was like an accident, and like it wasn't even like even close to a sin. And he's like, "Yeah, you don't need to be worrying about any of this." And I was like, but he said, and he's like, "No, like just go home, like I don't care." And I was like, oh my gosh, like that sent me for like years and years. I could like hear this man's voice saying that in my mind every time I like thought of doing something bad, bad, right? Air quotes, bad, like not even remotely close to a sin, but yeah. Anyways,
God.
that, yeah.
Something that I'm really happy about leaving is that I don't have to go against cultural norms anymore to like please some arbitrary bishop. So in as a Native American person, it's really rude to deny food. Like, if someone offers you food, even if you don't like it, you need to eat it. The only exception is if you're like deathly allergic to it. And I remember confessing to my bishop, the terrible bishop that I reference all the time, that's like responsible for your problems. A friend's aunt, I was a kid, I was like 10 years old, hanging out with a friend, and her aunt treated us all to like Starbucks Frappuccinos, the little ones. They're like milkshakes with coffee in them. And I was 10, and I was raised by my parents, you do not reject food. Like, that's so rude. And my mom's German American, so I don't know if that's a common German American practice or if that was just her family, but that's a huge part of Native American culture. Like, you eat it. And I drank the Frappuccino and it was delicious. And I remember confessing that for my sins to him, and he told some self-righteous story.
Oh my
Some
gosh.
self-righteous story. But he was at a work party, and a teacher had a birthday, and they had a cake that had coffee in it, because like coffee flavored cake is really good. And he didn't have a piece, and he made sure to tell everybody at the work party that it was against religion. Oh my God, get
Oh
on
God.
board. But I'm
Ugh.
so glad that now that I'm not a member, I don't have to go against my own cultural norm anymore. And
For
I remember
real.
thinking to myself, I was like, this man is, I was like a kid. I was like, this guy's really full of himself, but you're not allowed to think bad about the bishop. And I'm so glad that I can go back to like my normal cultural way, which is if someone offers you food, it's like a gift, like you accept it. And even if it tastes bad, you say it tastes great. Like, it's like such a kindness thing. But I can't, that story, because he's just such a hero. He's such a hero that he didn't have that piece of cake.
He is, yeah.
And
He
everyone
saved
at
his
work
place in
knew.
heaven for
I think so, for sure.
that.
God, that's one of my stories. You go with more. Sorry, I'm going to cough.
No, you're good. That was really something. Wow. Yeah, I had an example now, I can't remember. But speaking of food, this one's probably not even relatable to anyone else, but one of my cringe words was casserole, because that's all you get. Like, and I don't know if this is just like a Utah thing or if it like happens in other like predominantly like Mormon cultures or even Christian cultures, but every time like someone's sick or like has a baby or is in the hospital or whatever, like they'd always send out this the sign up sheet for casseroles, like who's gonna bring the casserole. And I remember my mom being sick one time for like a week or two. She had like a nose surgery thing. And we had food brought over to us by the Relief Society, like, every night for, like, a week and a half. And they were all casseroles. And I'm like, dude, I can't do this. Anyways, so every time I hear that word, every time I see a casserole, I love them. Like, I think they're delicious, but I just cringe a little bit inside because I'm like, oh, the casseroles and those, the Relief Society presidency wanted to bring me a casserole. I don't know. Anyways, that's probably not relatable at all.
No, I think it is. I've also heard the white people thing, but I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I do have a casserole trauma story, which is when I was on my mission, a member made a casserole, and girl, tell me how. It was an enchilada casserole. Why can't you just make enchiladas?
No, for
what
real.
What are we doing? What are we doing? And
oh my gosh.
We ate it, and it was horrific and so watery. It was 50% liquid because, again, how do you make enchiladas into a casserole? I don't know. But she did.
Yeah.
And then she's like, no, take it home with you. And of course, being from my culture, I ate the whole plate. I'm going to take it home with me. And I was sitting in the back seat because a member drove us. And she like hit a bump or had to make a sudden stop. So I was in New Mexico. So there were deers. And this casserole slushed up like the water that it was and spilled all over me.
No.
She meant so well. Because that is such a kind gesture, but
yeah.
This was so gross. And
no.
Bless her heart, she's not the problem. The casserole's the problem. And I stand on that. Casseroles, yes.
Yeah.
It's the way.
It is, yeah. I mean, I definitely appreciated the gesture. Like, it was so nice having food for a week and a half because my mom could not make us food. Like, definitely appreciated that, and I know it's a kind gesture. I know that these people are like they mean well, but it's like, can we just get something different? Like,
Amen.
Just make me, yeah, whatever. Anyways, that was one of my cringe words. Casserole.
That makes sense to me.
Ugh.
Oh, another cringe word that when I hear it, I like literally pop a blood vessel. Chastity. Stop. Like, I feel like I'm in medieval Europe, which I've never wanted to be. Like, I thank God, you know, I don't believe in God, but you know what I mean? I am count my blessings every day that I'm alive now. If I wanted to be alive back then, I would pick my native side of the family because medieval Europe was such a terrible place. And that's where, like, the term chastity was super popularized, was that period of time. And like chastity belts were around and like scold bridles came on the scene. Like, it was such a horrible time to be a woman. And so I think about medieval Europe and how I feel so bad for every woman that was alive at that time. And I think about chastity and I want to
bounce.
Like, I throw up inside for eternity. I hate that word.
That's a terrible word. Yeah, I hate that word.
another cringe thing a member told me, and she was, again, well-meaning, bless her, was she was like my seminary teacher, a sweet angel, but she talked about like your virginity or chastity being a gift to give your husband. Throwing up forever. Don't ever say that again to me. Like, I want to pass away. Like, I hate that so much. Like, it's a gift, like a literal gift. I'm like, no, it's not. This is weird. This is so weird. I can't stop saying this stuff. It's weird AF.
Yeah.
It's so unsettling. Like,
oh, that's so weird.
I can't.
Mm-mm.
I cannot. It just
no.
creeps me. Creeps, creeps, creeps. Do
yep.
any other things? I have more. I can keep
going. I have a couple, might be shifting the topic a little bit. So if you have any that are okay.
No, I'm all over the place.
So let's see. Both of these are kind of racist comments. The first one, my mother-in-law is a sweet lady. I love her so much. I really do. She is slightly racist. And she'll make comments sometimes. They're not like outwardly racist, but they have like hints of racism, you know. Which I find issue with every time because, like I've mentioned on previous episodes, my family is a mixed culture of family. And so I don't take it personally, but I take it personally for my siblings, if that makes sense. Anyways, she makes it a point to tell me every time someone in church mentions a person of color. And like, I guess in this last general conference, there was one talk where someone mentioned a black man being a bishop. And she's told me that story probably 4 or 5 times, just because she's like, oh, the church is like moving on, like it's being so good. And like, look, there are people of color who are like supportive of this. And then she'll share videos with me. She'll always be like, okay, you'll love this video. And it's like this little black kid dancing, and it like has nothing to do with what we were actually talking about, but she just like shows it to me as like a sign that she's like accepting of all these cultures. And then she makes comments like about the priesthood ban and all this stuff and how it wasn't bad and all this stuff, and I'm like, oh my god. It's just like, and it's so hard for me because I know how good of a person she is. Like, I love her so much, and I know that all of these things are just like a product of how she was raised. Like, she is raised to believe that people of color are lesser, and like that we had this like history in the church and like all that stuff. Like, that's been ingrained in her mind since she was a little kid. And so I like, it's hard for me to blame her because of her environment, but I also like, it's just so bad. It's so bad every time it happens, and I'm like, I don't know how to react to this. And I've tried telling her off so many times, but it's just like, anyways. So that was my next one.
But that's okay. I had a sneeze, so sorry you couldn't hear me laughing in the background.
You're good.
I definitely think that when members do that, they're really doing it for them.
Yeah.
I think that she is hyper aware of the racist issues in the church, but she has to make it make sense, you know, like has to use the cognitive dissonance. Yeah. And so whenever she finds sprinkles of like, oh, look, it's not that bad, that's totally to comfort her. And that's not wrong. The church is wrong. Like get out, and then you'll never have to do that again. Like literally, you never have to try to justify this racist organization because you won't be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty cringe. I've already shared it, but I did have that bishop ask my husband, where is he from?
Mm.
And he said Texas, because he's born in Dallas.
Yeah.
And then, oh no, where is your family from? And then my husband's like, oh, they're from Mexico, and my dad is black. Like, and then we stayed on the topic because if that man's going to make me uncomfortable, I'm going to make him uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So I already shared that because I was like, kept talking about race. And you want to bring it up, we'll bring it up. I'll tell you what I am too. Because you just thought mm-hmm. I was white. And then he got uncomfortable. And he's like, I don't really see people like that. Like, he doesn't see color.
I hate that.
Oh, no, you brought this topic up. And this little white presenting Native woman is going to make you really think about it. Because how are you going to ask my husband his ethnicity and not ask me?
Yeah.
Why? Because I have colored eyes, because I have light skin.
Yeah.
It's still relevant.
Mm-hmm.
It's relevant or it's not. And I think it is relevant. I think people's heritage and culture is beautiful, regardless of what you are. If someone's white, I want to know where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it. I love that. But in the Mormon church, whiteness is homogenized. So you're supposed to abandon your heritage. You're supposed to not, you know what I mean? Like, you're not supposed to be proud that you're from England. You're supposed to be proud that you're Mormon. Like, it just killed me. Like, get rid of your culture immediately.
No, for real.
Immediately. That's what it does all the time.
Mm.
And I think it still asks people of color to get rid of their culture to an extent. It's just harder for them to do because it's identifiable. But that's a pretty cringy Mormon experience, is like, race and ethnicity don't matter unless you're brown.
Yeah.
And I have to really bring it up.
It's so bad. And then even if you are like person of color, it's almost like, yeah, but you're Mormon first. Like, it's like, you don't, you can recognize that, but it's not like a big part of who you are. Like, it shouldn't be a big part of who you are, because we're all children of God and we're all Mormons, and that should be your first like identifier. Not that you like have all this culture and stuff, like that should be set aside, you know?
Exactly. And I think I've done a number on white Americans. I think they've been working on that really hard for a very long time, and it shows more. And then the attempts are being made now on people of color. Like, now we're getting to you. Now we're going to try to strip this away from you. We worked on the first wave of members that came from Europe. That was pretty fast. It did work. I mean, it's really awful. Super sad. Church history is evil. Because there was a major abandoning of identity to be Mormon. But I agree. That is cringe. And it hurts.
Yeah.
Hurts my soul. God.
Yeah. So bad. I had a member also. He was like, I considered him like a second dad. And so when he said this to me, I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, you know my family. Like, he told me that racism wasn't real. He said, why would God, a person who loves everyone, allow any group of his children to suffer? And so, like, basically racism isn't real. And then here's the kicker. He said, anyone who believes in God can see this. And I was like, are you shitting me? Like, this is when I was still like a believing member. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, you've known me my entire life. You know that I've like grown up and like worshiped God my entire life. And you're going to tell me that because I can't see that racism isn't real, that I clearly don't believe in God. Like, how the hell do you make that connection? Like, and racism isn't real. Like, you know, my little sister, you know what she goes through every day at school. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. But he doesn't want to face it. That makes me feel like such a roast God. That makes me feel like a large number of Mormons are suppressing their humanity. And even the ones that seem well-meaning and seem kind are still suppressing a part of humanity, because in our humanness, we acknowledge other people's suffering. And to deny that is to deny humanity.
Yeah.
I think that's what people victim blame. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear that this random woman, by no accord of her own, was sexually assaulted. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear that this random person of no accord of their own was a victim of any wrong. So they have to spin it. Jesus, Mary in the church. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Jesus, Mary at the inn.
Ugh, yeah.
Joseph. I
God.
Can't. That's crazy. I mean, I'm sure your relationship with him changed after that, because
oh yeah.
No longer a safe person.
No, for sure not. Yep. Ugh.
Jiminy Christmas. So he's like denying, like, their literal laws about racism. Like,
I was literally like, slavery, did that not happen? Like, what are you saying to me? God wouldn't allow his children to suffer. Like, he loves us all equally. There's
read the
big
Old
examples of this.
Yeah, what about like Moses in Egypt? That was slavery. And then
I'm like, are you just denying, like, no, for real? And I'm like, are you just like forgetting or denying like all of history, like that it never happened? I'm sorry. I can't do that. Factually, some of this has to have happened. Yeah, anyways.
Jesus Christ. That's like Holocaust denier status. Like,
Yeah, it was bad. It was
because that's
really
part of it too. Like, that's the big thing that people say, but like, it was exaggerated. And I'm like, there's Auschwitz still exists. You can visit it. Like, it's a historical park.
Yeah.
I can't. It's like the same vein. What an unsafe person. I think a lot of them do deny humanity. I think about the yeah, that's awful. We should think about if there's any more funny ones I have, because that's like,
yeah, that kind of got deep for a minute, so we can
I
bring
got
it back
grim.
To
Yeah, I got real bad. That's really
do
awful.
you have any funny examples?
Let me think. Like, I face racism all the time. Like, I witness it. You know, the tree of life, when I hear that, I just stop, I can't, like, make it stop. Life barges.
Barges.
Brother of Jared's story. Whatever the hell barges are. Oh my God. There's some other religious ones that like kill me, like mammon. I can't get behind that. Mark of the beast. Whatever that means. God. And then there's some words that overlap, like spirit world is a term in many other cultures and faiths.
Yeah.
So the Mormon definition is like totally erased from my mind. Like, spirit world is reclaimed.
Yeah.
But I hear those and it just All things in moderation,
Oh,
which is like a
gross.
nice statement. It's just been ruined by the church.
Yeah.
All things in moderation. Sacred loneliness, that's a doctrine and covenants. And that
Oh
one,
my
like.
gosh. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I had fireside written down just because like they take that and like mean it to be so different. Like that's like a normal word I feel like people would use if, like at a conference or something. We're gonna have a fireside or you know, I feel like you would hear it outside of the church. But I can't like on it gives me like PTSD, like trauma. Like I can't
Me
can't hear that
too.
word.
I didn't hear, I haven't heard that
Fireside,
in a long
man.
time.
Yeah. I had one of my friends is a convert and we went and picked her up. We told her, oh, we're gonna take you to a fireside. It was her first one. And she came out in like a sweatshirt and jeans and she had like hot dog roasters because she's like thinking we're gonna actually go sit by a fire. And I'm
Yeah.
like, I didn't realize how weird that word was until like that moment. But yeah. Oh my gosh.
We should
Anyways.
rename it. That's true. I would have done the same thing. You hear
I would
fire.
have too. I'm like, you are validated in this. Like, it is a weird word.
It's weird that we use this. The quorum, God, quorum. And now I know it means a group of 12. Priesthood,
Yeah.
the word authority, God, totally misused.
Yeah.
Turns me off because it's like they don't actually have authority. Their authority is that they're a man. It makes sense.
Yeah, basically.
Worthiness. And it's so fascinating because so many words in Christianity are religious but also related to money. And I found that out that it's because the faith Christianity was created around the same time that like the English language was created and the Spanish language. And so that's why I have like worthy and like forgiveness and like debtor and debt forgiveness is because it's all money tied, which is
Yeah.
a lot. We are running out of time and it could cut off. So, who do you want to close on the name of?
Let's close in the name of Donnie and Marie Osmond.
Yes, I love that. I think they left the church,
I
right? Maybe. I
think
hope
so.
I'll Google this. It says we have less than a minute, but no sentences, like no clock ticking. So it
I
will just
know. We could end at any
abruptly
moment.
stop. Yeah. I mean, do I
Wow.
cough? Should I cough? And then we'll end on like a creepy cough.
I
That's
mean, yeah.
creepy. All right, I'll stop it so it won't stop us. Bye.
Okay.